Hey, welcome back to another episode of Big Facts No Cap, the only show that's number one with sports gamblers and podcast ramblers. Let's get into this episode.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
Big
Facts
No
Cap.
No Cap.
Big
Facts
No
Cap.
Big
Facts
No
Cap.
No Cap.
Big
Facts
No
Cap.
Big
Facts
No
Cap.
No cap.
Who's playing this year? Is Kansas City going back?
No. Are you doing a I don't know Kim Kardashian or the Marvel movies thing? You don't know who's playing the Super Bowl?
I really don't know, but I the reason I was asking was because I was wondering if we were going to get news stories about Taylor Swift or...
No, she won't be there. It's the Patriots and the Seahawks. Yeah, no, do you have any preconceived notions about the Patriots or Seahawks?
Yeah, the Patriots are like the villains, right?
You hate Patriots? That's crazy to say.
Yeah. They're that type of team, right? They're like the Yankees. You're supposed to dislike them. They're a villain team, right?
I guess so. I don't really know. I don't have that much of a conception of it. I don't know if the Seahawks have no blood on their hands. I don't know where their stadium is. But the only thing I can say about them is I think their color scheme is really stupid. I think a lot of football teams look really... I thought the Seahawks was blue.
Why you don't care for that?
Because
the Patriots
blue
are just America colors, right?
And neon green and silver, I think.
Oh, yeah. I forgot the neon green.
Yeah. Whereas the Patriots, I think, are just red, white, and blue, which is, I don't know, fine, I guess.
I don't know if this is going to get us canceled. American flag is kind of stupid, right? It's like weird color.
You're hating on Betsy Ross?
It's like a weird color that has like a square in the corner for some reason. I don't know. It's like a weird looking flag.
I think we should have done a triangle flag. That's my subway take.
We should have been one of those countries.
Like Djibouti.
I guess it would have become way more popular internationally.
Yeah.
Square flags are always crazy. But
that aspect ratio.
You couldn't afford the extra fabric.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. My only big thing is it vexology, the study of flags or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
I love when someone brings up a flag and I'm like, oh, what does the red stand for? Blood?
Is that super common?
It's literally the only thing it ever stands for is the blood of the people that were lost forming the country. I think someone pointed out when I said that the other day, they're like, yeah, what does the blue stand for? The ocean? Which I don't think that's true for America. I don't know. But I think that's also a big part for other countries. Maybe more of like a sea blue. We have more of like a navy blue, which sounds oceanic, but...
Also, it's kind of crazy we still have 13 stripes on our flag as if the 13 colonies matter to us at all, like our modern identity.
Should we do a contest every 100 years to redo it?
What would it look like now if we let Americans vote on it? It would probably be like a bald eagle carrying a M16.
It'd probably just be the Confederate flag again.
That would be a crazy...
I know. The history of it is that flag wasn't even used by the Confederacy. It was used by blah, 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 blah. I don't care.
It was used by the Confederacy. It was their battle flag.
Whatever. Sure. It wasn't the main flag they used. People always like to point that out.
I mean, and then what's the obvious retort people make, which is, yeah, their official flag was the white flag of surrender.
Hey, come on now. Ain't that the truth?
Ain't that the truth?
Mm-hmm. But did you grow up with a lot of those people, the kind of people who, middle school historians who thought they knew how the South could have won?
Oh, yeah.
I knew a few of those.
Yeah, that always felt like do you remember a big thing in the South? Maybe this was all over the country, but when we would learn about the Civil War, they would always give us like a sheet where we had to say like what each side had, not pros and cons, but like assets and weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always like
the South had gumption, they had moxie.
Yeah. Literally, it was always like the North has more food, more people,
more
better
industrialization
lines, and the South had generals. Every time, it was like the one thing on the Southern asset side was they really had good generals.
They had panache. Mm-hmm.
They had attitude.
Yeah.
Why was that so important? I can't remember any other war where we had to like do that for. You know, that wasn't part of Revolutionary War. Why was it so important to them
because
to teach us?
We were part of the losers.
Yeah, we had to understand.
Yeah, about how if a certain battle had gone a different way, if we had redone one of our supply lines, we could have won the war.
Mm.
That was my girlfriend's little brother was really big on that. Before he got into, I'm going to be a white guy who's really into rap phase, he was a big, the South will rise again kid.
Which way, Western man? You know, I don't think I had any teachers that were, like, outright super aggressively, like, pro-Confederate, but, you know,
yeah.
In retrospect, I had ones that were, like, saying random sus things. Like, I remember starkly one teacher in, yeah, eighth grade, a history teacher specifically saying...
That was South Carolina history.
One of the reasons the South had a chance, despite all of their... weaknesses during the Civil War was because they were fighting for something they cared about. And at the time, it like almost made sense to me. But now I'm like, wait, no, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
I think both
sides felt like they cared about it. I'm not throwing that one up to racism. I'm not accusing my eighth grade teacher of racism. I'm throwing that up to like just the dumb like brain worms that get shared in the South. I don't know.
Yeah. I remember one time I was talking to my friend Jake at Trader Joe's, and he was talking about how he had doing in a volleyball tournament that weekend, and his team lost the finals, and he was like the team captain. And so I asked him, I was like, did you say that the other team just wanted it more? And he was like, I did say that as part of my speech. Yeah. But I like how that was your teacher's idea of how like the huddle at the end of the Civil War was like, hey, they just wanted it more, man, they were hungrier.
No, it was the opposite. He said the South wanted it more, but that was part of their assets. But they still those supply lines were too good. The North had
It's true.
Did you remember learning that the North had just recently figured out, like, they were using canned foods? It was, like, either invented for the Civil War or had recently been an innovation.
It was the French who invented
them.
It, yeah.
Yeah, maybe it was just a recent innovation that they were taking advantage of for the war.
Mm-hmm. I always wanted to try hardtack as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, do you want to speed up and go to present time? How's your present time going?
What? No, this is a Civil War podcast.
Yeah.
We've been following the Civil War weekly as it happened.
Day by day.
160 years ago? Sorry, I'm not good at math.
I love when Pierce and Nicole say that because they were math majors.
That is one of those things, like in college, you're not sitting around learning how to do addition and
doing
subtraction really
yeah.
quickly. That's not part of being a math major.
Humming a.
But no, not too much going on recently. How about you?
Not much. I went to the farmer's market today. That was nice. I had a couple of media roundup things. I went to watch this stellar movie from this up-and-coming director, Taxi Driver, at the Dreamland.
You've never seen it?
Never seen it. And I really loved it. I think maybe my hot take is that I actually didn't love the music in it. I thought it was a little bit distracting. But no, it's a great movie. I didn't know it's the... You talking to me? I didn't know that was from that movie. It's not that big of a part of the movie. It's like a very subtle scene. I mean, you know, sometimes... I remember when I went to go watch that horror shorts film festival that was like 8 hours long. I was there all day. I was watching some with Spencer and watched a few that were kind of duds. And then one came on that I really liked. And I was like, no, that's a goddamn film. That's basically how I felt when I finished Taxi Driver. I was like, that's a goddamn film right there. That's a good-ass movie. So yeah, I really enjoyed it, and I really rooted for the main character. I think he's a great guy. I want to shout out IDK's new mixtape, Even the Devil Smiles. Open Mike Eagle put me onto that with a podcast interview. Very fun, very interesting mix of genres. And then I used to go to this bar by Joyce Maynor. It's 20 minutes long. It's a punk album, so you know, you got time. Everyone's got time for it. And then the only other thing that I want to talk about, non-media related, is I got called out for some behavior, which I have been called out before for, where sometimes if someone's sending me a text about like, hey, are you going to come to this thing later? Or like, oh, are you in Davis today? Sometimes as a joke, I will send someone a message back saying, look behind you. And I've had multiple people tell me I don't enjoy that as a joke. So I remember I did it to Amelia once when she first moved to Ireland or Scotland. And I did that. And I was like, obviously, I'm not there. But more recently, I was going to meet up with Marshall in Davis. And he was like, oh, when are you going to be in Davis? And I said, look behind you. And he told me later he didn't like that joke. So there you go, folks. I'm living, I'm learning, I'm laughing, I'm loving, and I'm changing and growing.
All right, you ready to get into the theme?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Sports betting.
Sports betting.
What do you know about it? How much have you done?
I know that it's becoming a new and pervasive issue. I know that it's illegal in some states. But really, my only experience with it was somewhat recently when I was overhearing two of my friends watch football together and talk about some of the bets that they had put down where they had lost money. And it basically felt like that Mike Birbiglia bit about people making out in middle school. Do you remember that one? It's the one where he's like, my friends would talk about how they were making out in middle school, or certain people would make out in our middle school. And I knew what making out was, but I didn't know that they were doing it. I was like, what? People we know are doing this? That's basically how I felt about it. I was like, I know sports betting is a popular thing. I didn't know people that I knew did it. I just thought that's what like people who don't want their money in their pocket do.
Did you ask them about it? Did they have a philosophy where they like, oh, I just do it on games to make ones like to make it more interesting? Like, did they have some sort of thing about it where they're like, oh, no, I know I'll lose money?
I didn't make them justify it, but it was a lot of the like crazy ones where I guess if you put down a dollar and all 13 parlays hit, you make 100 or whatever. It was a lot of those where like, I guess the justification is I'm putting down a dollar, who cares? But it was a lot of like 12 out of 13 hit and then this thing happened in the game and it's like, oh, damn, that happened to me. And I was like, damn.
That also even, but it's like at that point, I would rather do the other type of gambling, which is the lottery, because at least then you get to fantasize about being a millionaire. If I win 100, well, I get to fantasize about having like a pretty nice lunch.
About your return on investment. Maximizing your ROI.
Also, I would say like 13 parlays seems like it should pay out more than 100 to 1. If everything's like 50%, that's like, I don't know. How often are you flipping a coin and getting heads 13 times in a row? That seems like,
to be fair,
super
this is another
rare.
One of those times where I don't remember the exact numbers. I was given an illustrative example.
Oh, gotcha. I was going to say, money. That seems like even for a dollar, that should be like...
That's what I'm always asking. How much a dollar cost?
1,000x return or something.
Oh, and shout out to Pierce, who only recently explained to me how football betting works with like the plus 1.5. Apparently that just directly translates to the points, basically. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't really know how... I also don't really know how over-unders work. I don't really know anything about betting. I've never really bet. I guess that's how I'll start my statement.
Over-under is just the total score, and it's will it be over or under that number. So if it's 50, that means one team could score 50, the other 0, or 51. And if you bet the over, you win.
And you just win the amount that the other person bet, or there's a multiplier, or is it just... I bet 100, you bet 100. If it's over, you get it. If it's under, I get it.
I'm guessing they put it at the predicted score of the game. So the over-under is going to be, I don't know if it's the other person, right? It's sportsbooks doing this. So it's not that it's like you'd get that money times two or lose it, right? Or not times two. I mean, times two minus whatever cut the sportsbook takes.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess you could have an over-under for a single team score or the entire score of the game or whatever. Whatever the predicted score is going to be, they peg it and... You say whether you think it's going to be over that, if there's going to be more or less scoring. That's all it is.
Well, those are boring. I like the sport. I like the ones that are like crazy ones where it's, you know, I expect this person's going to get a red card in the first half.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Prop bets.
Is that a whole different category?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a prop bet. Well, and that's become like the prediction markets are making it so that you can do prop bets on like everything in culture, which, yeah, that is fun. I mean, not really, because I have no interest in doing it. Do you ever, like, look at that stuff and you think, how cocky is it to feel like you have some special insight into if that thing is happening or not? I feel like I have no special insights.
No, I can kind of, I sometimes feel like I can gas myself up on that sometimes where, like, I used to have a friend, he was Kazakhstani, and he was really into soccer, so we would talk about the Champions League games, and he would sometimes, like, predict with me where I'd be like, oh, Barcelona is obviously going to lose to Bayern, and he'd be like, yeah, I think I agree with that, and I was like, my predicted score is, like, 6-2, maybe, which that game ended 8-2, and he was like, oh, I'm not going to predict a score, I don't think I'm that good at it, and I was like, come on, let's see who's better at this, but I remember there was one time where, and I'll go ahead and say, I don't bet because I think I would, on the majority, lose and that I don't have special insight. But I will tell a story that makes it sound grandiose where I was watching a bar soccer game at like a little cafe in Davis before meeting up with some friends. And so a guy sits down to ask me which teams are playing. And I was like, oh, it's Manchester City and Atalanta. They're an Italian team. And he was like, oh, OK, who do you think's going to win? And I broke down my entire reasoning for why I thought Atalanta was going to try and play the game that they wanted to play, which is not a good idea against a team of Manchester City's quality. And I was like, honestly, I think it's going to be a really exciting game. I think it's going to end like 5-0 Man City. And I went out with my friends and hung out on the patio. And at one point, when I go back to check in the game ended 5-0 Man City. And I was like, whew, maybe daddy should be playing some bets on this. I don't know about this. Maybe daddy knows ball.
Did anybody acknowledge that you'd gotten it right?
No, because the guy who I told it to was some random dude who went to talk to me while he was watching the game.
So there's no proof this actually happened. Interesting.
No, you just have to believe me.
You making up that story to look cool. And then the game was 5-0.
You know what? I'll go back through my messages with Tanat, and maybe there's some predictions I've made that I can go back and retro date.
So yeah, are you worried about the effects this is gonna have on our culture? I think it's one of those things where like it might be slow rolling, but I feel like it is probably gonna.
You think it's gonna be the new fentanyl?
Oh yeah, probably. Once again, I don't feel like I have special insights. Every once in a while, you see somebody saying something like, oh, there's like record amount of like housing foreclosures and like states that have legalized gambling or whatever. And I don't know if those people are just
that sounds
trying
like some Malcolm Gladwell ass shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to read into data. I don't know. I mean, because obviously it's people are going to try to make everything sound like much bigger and more obvious and more easily like identifiable in the data, because that makes for like a more interesting Substack article. So I don't know, maybe it is truly that dire already, at least in the places
divorce
I
rate
live
in states where it's legal or whatever, those kind of things.
Yeah, at least where I live it doesn't seem like I'm not seeing like gamblers out on the street itching for their next bet. But
oh yeah, what is the legality of betting right now in the U.S.?
Oh, you know, maybe we should have read up on this before. I don't know, really.
What was it historically? Why did it feel like when I was growing up, I heard that you could only bet on Indian reservations, and that doesn't seem like a thing? Because casinos existed when we were kids, so I don't know, yeah. Look that up, Jamie.
Oh, in 2018, the Supreme Court declared a federal ban on sports betting to be unconstitutional.
Ooh.
So that's why states started being able to legalize it, and...
You said 2018?
Yeah. So that's why we've seen such a blow up since 2018. And then I know that the prediction markets are different because I've read a story on that. They're like, they try to get CFTC compliance, and it's basically the same thing as like, it's like when you try to do derivatives predictions. So when you have like a derivative financial product that pays out when a stock goes to a certain price, but instead of it being like a derivative financial product, it's a derivative on like the game ending at a certain result.
Which those are pretty analogous.
Yeah. I mean, I guess people would make the argument of like, why can you bet on the price of gold next year, but you can't bet on the outcome of a game? They're both betting.
Seems like class warfare. That's what it seems like to me.
And I think that's the argument the prediction markets make, like a Kalshi and a Poly market. So, but that's different than I think the legalized betting since 2018, because the legalized betting is still sports books. So this is like a whole different mechanism and a different argument for why it should be legal. Have you ever gambled on anything?
Never played Scratchies, really. I think I did it for an episode on the lottery that we did for the pod. I think we did that live on pod a long, long time ago. Like I said, I've thought about it before. I've also thought of the philosophy where you can't really do this because you don't... Well, I guess you have Clemson, but the whole, like, bet against your team, that way, whether or not you win or lose, you got something to celebrate.
Oh. These little tricks we play on ourselves. Humanity's awesome.
Serotonin by any means.
Yeah, that's why I bet on every team, so no matter who wins.
I can't lose.
No cap.
Isn't that what people say was like the oldest form of gambling? Or maybe it's either a very southern thing, or I think I still thought it was a British thing, but it's the, you know, you divide a cow pasture into quadrants and then everyone tries to bet on where the cow's going to poop. Which that is a kind of, I guess it might get cut out, but when you were saying betting for the sake of betting or whatever, it feels like that's what that was like, we got nothing to do. We got to pass some time.
And there was the Shohei Ohtani type scandal when they found out the cow was betting on it.
Mm-hmm.
That seems crazy. Weather would be a more interesting thing to gamble on than that. The cow pooping on a specific part of the
pasture. It's a good
pasture.
Way to kill an hour, yeah.
It's more interesting to gamble on a game of penny can. Like, they had that shit back then. They could have thrown something into something.
They did not
something.
Have U.S. pennies in the 1600s.
Wow, you think gambling started in the 1600s? That's crazy.
I don't know. What, do you think it's ended in Neanderthal times?
I think it started in tribes.
Yeah, it's probably true. Yeah. All right, I'll agree with that. Oh wait, what's your let's end on this. What's your prediction for Sunday?
Patriots or Seahawks?
Mm-hmm. What's the score?
Oh, over under. Okay, I'll ping my score and you give me the over under. Are Super Bowls usually high scoring for the NFL?
It depends on the teams. Sometimes it's defensive teams. Sometimes it's two high attacking teams.
Okay, and the Patriots, you know, they always come back from behind. That's their thing. Okay, I'll do 40. No, that'd be a low scoring game.
That's a very high scored game.
40? Or three both teams score three touchdowns? That's not that crazy.
Isn't that 18? Or are you saying it's 40 points overall?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I still don't understand how betting score. Okay, all right. So you're just trying to say how many points are going to be scored in the game total?
Yeah.
Oh, this is too confusing. This is what I'm saying. Just give me a score line and tell me who's going to win.
45. Give me the over under, Adrian. What do you think? You think it's falling under?
That's not a score line. Under.
Under.
My prediction is 19-3 Seahawks.
I think it's going to be a rare 19-2. They're going to score a safety.
All right. Do you want to get into a column?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Mine's actually Super Bowl themed if you want to do mine first.
Sure.
All right. Mine is Ask Lucas. My husband lost a bunch of money gambling on the Super Bowl. From February 10th, 2025. Short and sweet. Maybe has one of the most absurd questions I've ever heard. Dear Lucas, my husband lost a bunch of money betting on the Kansas City Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. He recently downloaded one of those sports betting apps and has been making bets here and there. I don't think he has a gambling addiction, and we're financially able to absorb losing that money. I think he was just being stupid. Has he learned his lesson? That's what I mean by the most absurd question asked to an advice columnist. What do you mean, has he learned his lesson? What are we supposed to know about that? Did you have any strong predictions going into that game? Did you go to a Super Bowl party that time? I can't remember. I thought you did last year.
I don't remember either. I don't think so, but maybe.
I remember watching it at Pearson Nicole's house before I had to pick them up from the airport.
Also, I mean, isn't that kind of part of being like, well, I guess she's saying he's not an addict, but isn't that part of liking gambling? Is that like losing is a, like, just because he lost, I don't think gamblers learn their lesson because they lost. I think losing is kind of like you still have fun losing. Like you still get the dopamine
it
rush
still makes
of the
it
excitement.
Exciting. Yeah. Yeah, I've heard a couple of people online talk about that in forums of like, so how does betting addiction work where like you're not doing a drug, you're not like actually getting a substance into your body or whatever. Like how do people get addicted to that? And it's like, I think it's just emotional, right? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, people are
either that or maybe it's like the hole you dig yourself, but I don't know.
Oh, you think it's all people living uncut gems type situations?
I guess the more common thing would be the emotional part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure some of it is like the hole you dig yourself. But I think obviously a lot of people are addicted to a lot of things that aren't actually substances. It's just like if that
your
specific
phone,
thing gives you a dopamine rush.
Outrage online libs. Am I right? Virtue signaling?
No, I don't think that that's how gambling works. I don't think losing makes you want to gamble less. That's not typically the trajectory, right? Unless you're a person who already didn't like gambling and it was your first time, then losing probably would make you go, oh, this sucks.
Mm-hmm.
I need to gamble again to win. Even if you're not an addict, that's the fun, right?
I thought the fun was winning.
No, I think the fun is the gambling. The winning is what makes it feel interesting.
I thought the fun is when you shake the die and you say, Daddy needs a new pair of shoes, and you make a pretty lady kiss your hand while you're throwing it.
Okay, that is the fun. Yeah, exactly. But that's the buildup. The fun is the anticipation. The fun is the, like, the feeling you get waiting to see if it's gonna, if the dice are gonna roll in your favor.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's the feeling you're looking for.
I guess also, but you're right. I guess winning probably makes you feel smart. With sports betting as opposed to like just betting on something that's random chance, like the lottery, I guess sports betting has the benefit of like it makes you feel smart when you win. So maybe there's some sort of like validation that you do understand the sport in a way that other people don't, or you have special insights. Whereas I think just like betting on machines in Vegas is kind of different. Yeah, so I don't think he's learned his lesson. It is funny that this wife thinks that's how it would work, though. honey, he's selling your jewelry at the pawn shop right now for the next big bet as you're writing in to who'd you write into?
Ask Lucas. I think this ask might have been Lucas. The first time we brought him in. All right, you want to read the answer?
I don't know if we have that much to say about this one.
All right, what do we got, Lucas? Here we go. Dear reader, before we get into the typical buffoonery of this column, okay, I didn't know Lucas was about typical buffoonery. If your husband does have a gambling problem, he should talk to someone about that. Ohio's problem gambling hotline is 1-800-589-9966. I wonder what the therapy for a gambling addiction is. Now back to the buffoonery. It's a shame that corporate shills that run betting apps have taken over the mafia's stronghold on the gambling industry. Now instead of capicola and homicide, we get more greedy corporations trying to cash out before the inevitable class action lawsuit. One option is to convince your husband to convert to Islam. Since gambling is haram, he won't be able to stay in Allah's good graces if he keeps this up. All right, I like Lucas. All right, Lucas is one
yeah,
over.
Brother. I did not think we were going to get such based advice.
If your husband watches Fox News or is too lazy to pray five times a day, you may have to find an alternative. Consider embezzlement. No, think about it. If you're stealing / laundering money and then gambling with that money alone, are you really being irresponsible? Plus, working a criminal enterprise will also bring you closer together as a couple. You'll share secrets, amass wealth, and spend plenty of time together, even if some of that is behind bars. You can spend your days extorting people, running credit card scams, or whatever sort of criminal activity your heart desires. Now that I say this all out loud, I'm realizing I'm just telling you to start your own mafia. But maybe that's just the natural state of the universe. Maybe the mafia deserves to do some light racketeering. After all, it gave us Goodfellas and Frank Sinatra. Knocked it out of the park. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah. Convert to Islam.
He gave the serious advice. He got a little
silly
with it.
And then the actual advice of converting to Islam.
You know how... he gave some serious advice, then he gave some silly advice about calling the hotline.
yeah, what are they going to do? Do you think
I
that...
I wonder if they... Oh, go ahead.
I was asking like how the what they actually do therapy-wise to get someone over a betting addiction. Do you think it's as simple as being like, I bet you won't not bet?
I'll take that action.
Double or nothing.
I'll take that action. 50K on it.
I'll put 5 on it.
Wait, actually, if you were the one betting that they'll not bet, then that'd be that they would need to bet to win that bet.
Oh,
I'll bet that you keep betting, Adrian. There you go. That's what you meant.
Okay, yeah. I'm not familiar with cognitive behavioral therapy.
And also, you have to, you know, make sure to write the contract so that bet they're allowed to take without it immediately counting as a bet, because you know you'd have to work out the wording,
obviously, the contract, obviously.
Yeah.
All right, you ready to get into your column? What you got for us, Paul?
All right, I brought in a column where the person does write back into Dear Annie with a follow-up. So I'll just jump into the question. Dear Annie Lane, one of my good female friends graduated from a rival college of mine. We talked smack about who has a better football team. When her school loses games, I gloat. One time this year, I said her school had zero chance of winning against my school. I did this level of trash talking for 2 months, practically daily. She said that if I was so confident, then I should put it on the line. I told her to name the stakes. She said if my school lost one game in particular, starting Jan 1st, I would have to post a new picture of myself on social media in a thong every day for a year, holding a sign saying, my school sucks. Well, my school lost, and it was never close. She texted me during the game talking smack. I said the bet was just a joke. She said it was not, and that she could show her friends our text receipts. I'm worried what people will say if I start posting this kind of content we discussed. My friends from high school and college, plus my coworkers, would see it. Is there any way I can get out of this? Signed, unfriendly bet.
I think she's got her priorities wrong.
I thought this was a male friend. You think the question asker is a female?
Oh, wait. A guy dressing in a thong? That's cool. That's woke as hell.
Doesn't change it if it's a woman or man who made this bet.
I don't know why I thought with it being two women instead of one of my good female friends. No, only a male would say only my female friend. You're right. Yeah. Maybe it is a guy. Okay.
That's kind of how I read it.
Interesting. Well, then. Okay. First of all, I had some ideas. First one is obviously post a picture of yourself every day and say that you're wearing a thong underneath. So it counts. get around it.
Make a, okay, if we're doing loopholes, make a second Facebook account and don't friend anybody on there.
My second idea is, my worry wouldn't be how I would look putting out those photos. My worry would be this expose that this person's working on and showing the text about how I'm a dirty little liar who doesn't stick to my commitments.
Look, you didn't sign a contract, so technically you don't have to do it, but that is her recourse, is showing everybody that you're...
You a little bitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think it's lame when people make bets they actually have no intention of keeping.
Hmm.
You can't just make a bet and be like, if I win, nice. If I lose, well, I just won't.
That's the best way to do it. That's a very childish thing to do. It's a very kid thing to do.
Yeah.
I wasn't being serious. Yeah. I wasn't actually going
to
do it.
I want to know what the other end of the bet was, because presumably it's if he asked her to wear a thong and post it on social media, that sounds like he's being horny. So she must have had something different as her.
Yeah. Although it does always feel like you should have equivalent things. That always feels like the most fair thing.
Yeah, I guess if one team was much better, like if his team was much better, then obviously it would have been more likely they would win. So she'd have to have a lower punishment to keep the stakes equal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, Adrian.
Which it wasn't even the game against each other. It was just a random game.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting. So this probably isn't Clemson, Carolina. And obviously he wasn't a Carolina fan, otherwise they would have won.
Yeah. Carolina with their massive winning streak in football. One of the most storied teams.
I don't keep up. I don't know. Doesn't matter that much to me. what were the other things I was thinking about how to get out of this or what the idea was? Let me think. Do you think this is like the league where talking smack for them is calling each other shit sippers? Or what do you think? What kind of level of smack talk do you think they're doing?
I don't know. Did you get the sense from just how it was worded and what they thought would be like a funny bet that these people are kind of like annoying people?
Oh, I thought you were going to say they were being flirty with each other.
It does sound like it's a little flirty, but it also sounds like it's a little like somebody who watched the league and is probably trying to imitate it poorly in their personal lives.
Yeah. Well, I had a couple questions there. One is, you guys are out of college. You guys shouldn't be following your college team anymore. But have you, I feel like we grew up with enough Southern football lovers to have the people who had hot opinions about like, oh, I don't watch the league. The league's a bunch of overpaid people. I watch the college games. Those kids are hungry. Those kids are trying to make it or whatever. Like, they have some kind of opinion about why it's better football.
Oh, I get that. I mean, I don't watch either, so maybe I'm not like an authority on it, but I always found it more fun to watch college football. It's like, it really just is like more things are happening in a game.
There's more cheer.
There's a lot more breakout plays and a lot less slowly making your way upfield with sensible plays and a lot more like, the guy got it and he's running. 60-yard touchdown.
Okay. Oh, the boys come. Okay.
I guess there isn't an equivalent for soccer. It is just more fun to watch the highest level of play.
I mean, I don't know. I like going to watch a local game.
Yeah.
But you're right. Yeah, it is. I mean.
Oh, one of the things you said that caught me was how it sounds like a little kid thing. I do remember a kid in my neighborhood growing up was a fake bet maker. Where it was we were never betting large amounts of money. It would be like $1 or $2. And it just got to the point where everybody was like, oh, yeah, Lane lies. Like, if he makes a bet, he's just not going to pay if he loses.
Lying Lane. Let me think about bets that I've made. I think when Phil first went vegetarian, Adam made him do a bet on how long he would last. I remember that being a thing.
Oh.
I don't know if he ever got paid out, but I know that Phil did it for over a year. I guess you're not on Instagram, but that was a hot type of meme for a second. It's different notable assassins. So like John Wilkes Booth getting his fantasy football punishment for the year. And he like opens up the piece of paper and he's like, guys, come on.
Oh.
Yeah. Lee Harvey Oswald getting his fantasy football punishment. Other than that, other bets.
I do think the her shaming you to your friend group is about the appropriate level of punishment for the fact that I do agree. You shouldn't post a photo of yourself clearly in a thong where your coworkers
every
can see
day
it.
For a year.
That's well, also maybe just that's a lot of where, energy. We didn't talk about how unreasonable that was. Even if it was just post a selfie every day, it's like that's really gonna be like, unless I automate that, that's gonna be a lot of time and effort to get into a thong.
But that's gonna make a really killer Reddit post at the end of the year where you set it to like Coldplay's Speed of Sound or whatever.
Birds
came flying at the speed of sound. And it's like every day going do 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 do.
How beautiful would it be selfies? If this is how this guy really opened up to his gender identity?
Yeah.
Wearing a thong every day. He was like, I kind of like this.
Yeah.
I don't. do I like it because I'm a man who likes wearing women's clothes, or am I?
Those tough questions come out.
You know, not gender non-conforming. I just really got to figure this out. Start watching some ContraPoints videos. Trans in a year.
Mm-hmm.
Trans in a year and love Israel.
I think my only other comment on this one is there's ways around it. I think the worst punishment should be her just calling you out with the receipts. If you got receipts, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And then
I would definitely at least try to negotiate down to one post.
It's like, that's what I was going to say. Is like, if you do one every day, at a certain point, it's habituation. I don't think anyone's going to care by the fifth one.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think you got to go double or nothing. You just got to keep
two thongs every day.
You see, this is hard for me to relate to what would I do, because it's like, I wouldn't make this bet in the first place because I know I wouldn't do that. And I don't believe in making fake bets that I'm not going to hold to.
You'd only do that if you were super sure your team was going to win.
If I was super, super sure.
Yeah. If you knew for sure.
All right. Do we want to hear the professional answer? Do you have anything else?
No, let's do it. Let's see what Lucas has to say. Oh, wait, no. What Annie has to say.
Dear unfriendly bet, you and your friend can joke all you want about college sports, but long gone are the dorm days. You're both adults with a myriad of responsibilities and obligations. Posting the kind of pictures you described could lead to serious fallout at work and in your relationships, not to mention chip away at your dignity. Have you thought about converting to Islam? I'm joking. Give your friend a call.
You could. Is that part of it? You're not allowed to post pics like that?
Yeah, that's a part of Islam. Give your friend a call and draw your line in the sand. Assure her that if the game had gone in your favor, there's no way you would actually expect her to post these photos online either. Perhaps a happy
That's an assumption. That's an assumption.
I really don't think there was an equivalent on her end. I want to know what her thing would have been.
If it was the same thing and he would have made her do it, this guy sucks and that guy's terrible. But I don't think that's what it was.
He throws a hissy fit about it.
You said, lady, lady.
Perhaps a happy medium would be repping your team spirit wear instead of your alma maters in a single defeat post. Only do what you feel comfortable with. If you find the situation can't be sorted civilly, call it quits on all future bet making with this friend. And maybe give some thought to whether or not she should be on your friend roster at all.
Oh, that's good wordplay right there. I like that.
I guess. I don't think he should unfriend her because he was too cowardly. That just seems like that's his way of trying to get out of the bet.
Well, I think if she presses it super hard, maybe that does mean they have like a fundamental difference in how they view these things.
Yeah.
But no, you're right.
All right. Do you want to hear the follow-up letter they wrote?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Dear readers, many of you wrote in advice for Unfriendly Bet, who took a gamble on a particular college football game with a friend from a rival school of his. The stakes were high. The two discussed starting January 1st, the letter writer having to post a new picture of himself, blah, 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 explaining the letter. A number of astute readers noticed that the terms of the bet were not clear or nearly specific enough and argued the thong could have been worn over clothes or cleverly fashioned into headbands, hair scrunchies, belts, scarves, capes, and even earrings. All great, creative and appropriate solutions to an otherwise potentially embarrassing and risque photo prompt. Here's a follow-up note from Unfriendly Bet himself. Dear Annie, I wrote to you about losing the sports bet with my friend and having to post photos online. Thank you for the advice. I decided to take my medicine like a man. Honestly, I didn't get blowback. Actually, the opposite for owning up to the deal. There was a few laughs, albeit at my expense, but generally good humor all around. Thanks for your advice.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that is a funny follow-up that he didn't take her advice at all, but he still thanked her for it.
Thank you for your advice. That's a man. I'll tell you, what are you going to do?
All right, do you want to get into our third segment?
Yeah, do you have something ready, or what are we doing?
Yeah, just pull up kalshi.com. That's a big prediction market.
K-A-L-S-H-I.
Yeah, it's the Arabic word for everything, because the founder of Kalshi is a Lebanese man.
All right, do you want to explain what we're doing here?
Yeah, so we're going to look at some of these, like, kind of prop bets around the Super Bowl that are, like, the bets on culture and just see if we have opinions on how they're weighted and if we think it's going to fall one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, Adrian, do you want to read the top one for us since you've already kind of hinted that at it?
You mean Bad Bunny's halftime opener?
Yeah.
So there is Titi Me Preguntó, or Chambea are the two songs. And one of them is heavily favored.
Bad Bunny's halftime opener.
I mean, I don't know his music that well, but one of them seems to be off the new album. One of them seems to be an older song. So I think I'm assuming it's going to be the one from the newer album.
And if you click on it, there's more songs. So those are just two top bets.
Front runners.
Yeah.
What did Kendrick open with again?
Oh, I forgot what Kendrick opened with. But I was going to say, what's interesting about these type of bets is obviously this isn't like completely hidden information. Like, there's people on Bad Bunny's team who know. Like, I know in Kalshi, the day that we arrested or abducted Maduro from Venezuela, like, as it was happening, it spiked that we were gonna quote unquote invade Venezuela. And it's like, oh, that's clearly people like in the know in the military starting to bet. And with Titimi Pregonto slowly over the last day itching up from equal with the other song to number one, it feels like there's probably people who are like working on the performance.
You can see the graph of how it's been going. Interesting.
So with that inching up, it seems like the likelihood is insiders are trading on it.
Maybe. I will say, shout out to, I think that this whole thing is a symptom of a sick society and that we shouldn't be doing this. Well-designed website. It is very nice to use and look at.
But yeah, I don't think I have opinions on this. Do you know Bad Bunny's music?
No, I don't know.
Who do you think will perform with Bad Bunny at the game? So we have Cardi B, Archangel, and Travis Scott. I'm guessing Archangel is connected to Bad Bunny. I don't know who that is, but he's... It seems like all three of these people are trending up in the last day. So, and I mean, they do invite a lot of people, but it seems like Travis Scott is a late runner who was close to 0% and in the last day has spiked. So it seems like maybe there's some insider information on him.
I have a different list of people. The top two ones on mine are Ricky Martin and Lady Gaga at 81% each and 50% for Cardi B.
Oh, why is
Travis Scott is like fifth.
Oh, okay. I see the percentage. You're right. Okay. Yeah. Ricky Martin is the highest at 81% with Lady Gaga.
Oh, my mom would love that. Yeah.
Your mom's a big Ricky Martin fan.
She loves Ricky Martin.
All right. Let's see if there's some more fun bets. Who'll attend the big game? I mean, that just seems like, what if you know these celebrities? Wouldn't you just know?
Can I ask the question?
Yeah. Quick?
Is this one of those things where Super Bowl is trademarked, so you have to call it the big game? Or is this more of like a cultural thing that we just call it the big game?
I do not know. Because you would think for the contract that this is based on, it has to be more like specifically written. It can't be the big game because it feels like.
Yeah. Because Cardi B's at a 98% chance, which makes me feel like she's maybe going to be on the show then. I don't know. Tom Brady, Jason Kelsey, Gavin Newsom.
Jason Kelsey. So the lesser Kelsey.
Not the lesser Kelsey. He won a Super Bowl, I think. I actually don't know.
Gavin Newsom. Seattle versus the Patriots. Why would, I guess just to up his brand?
Because he wants to be the president, yeah.
Yeah. Roger Federer. This isn't tennis, brother.
This ain't tennis, brother.
At least the other ones were like, oh, people would have to keep hush-hush about it. This feels like these people might have just posted on their social media, planning to go to the big game, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Sam Altman.
I see, okay.
So, is interesting.
Yeah, Sam Altman.
59%. Mm.
So you could conceivably bet on each person being there, and you'd get a return on each of them.
Yeah.
Okay, these aren't mutually exclusive. Interesting. This is a weird type of betting. I feel like the betting should just be like, who do you think's going to win? You get one option. What do you think the score is going to be? You get one option.
Well, you do. This is just organizing it for you, but each one of these is a different bet.
I guess so. I don't know. It feels, I'm already lost. I'm already disinterested. This is already decision fatigue. Let's do Oscar for Best Picture. Who wants to do that?
Ooh, okay. One Battle After Another is a good pick. Sinners is also, that seems likely
pretty
to me.
Low.
Two, but it's only at 17%. It's number two. I guess One Battle After Another does seem more, well, they both had action, they both had comedy, they both have like that feel of a big movie. I guess maybe because Woke is over, people think Sinners is less likely. It feels like maybe it would have been a more of a shoe-in like 5 years ago.
I'm going for No Other Choice, which doesn't even have a bet because it's not nominated. I'm going for Begonia, obviously, but I don't know. One battle after another, I guess, will win, and I think a lot of people who I respect will be happy with that. I wouldn't be, but...
Begonia would be an odd one to win. I mean, right? Because a lot of this is, like, it's the one that made
Didn't Portings win?
Portings. That's true.
Did Portings win? I actually don't remember.
Yeah, I think that's... I think people are betting on the smart pick for that one. One battle after another seems like the smart pick. I do think Sinners being at 17% might be... I think it's more likely than that. Than what's being shown.
Yeah. Shout out to Sacramento, one battle after another.
I would have thought Marty Supreme might have a better chance, though. I'm surprised how low it is. I would have, if you'd asked me, I would have thought Marty Supreme was more likely like a pick than Hamnet, but Hamnet's rating better at 8%.
Wasn't that the Safdie who just got canceled there?
Yeah, but I mean, Woke is over. But Woke is over.
How long will the halftime show last? At least 14 minutes. At least 15 minutes. I would die if I lost by a second.
Yeah, I mean, this makes sense. The longer it goes on, the more the percentage goes down.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that's like, I would have never even thought to think about how long the halftime show would go.
They're
you know?
Always getting longer, I think.
Oh, do you think that's what it is? That's why it's like a cultural joke, and then you can bet on it.
Yeah.
People being like, oh, how long will it be this year?
Yeah, whereas like that's a big thing at international tournaments for soccer where like it's physically bad for the players to spend that much time cold before going back onto the field to play again. So it is a point of like discussion, which I think Pierce told me it is for football too, but.
Oh, what? Where is the Super Bowl this year?
Oh, I know that. It's, it's in Columbia, South Carolina.
The most happening city.
No, where is the NFL, the Super Bowl? Where is the Super Bowl this year?
Where is the NFL? Because I always thought it was in all our hearts.
Do you think it's in Puerto Rico?
Okay, maybe this is why it makes more sense for Gavin Newsom to be there. It's going to be in Santa Clara.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Oh, I think I did know that. If you had really asked me that, I would have known.
If I'd really asked you.
If it was a question of trivia, I would have gotten it out of the mud.
If I was doing one of those hypotheticals where for some reason I have a gun to your head.
Yeah, I would have been like, oh, I can probably get there. I definitely can Slumdog Millionaire that.
Slumdog Millionaire, but it's just a flashback to somebody telling you that the Super Bowl's in Santa Clara.
Ooh, I like this one. Who will win Beast Game Season 2? Player 167, Player 152.
And?
Player 167's up by quite a lot.
You didn't want to bet on what actor is most likely to show up in a commercial?
Who do we have right there? Is it Timothy Chalamet?
Ben Affleck at number one with 98%. Marshawn Lynch at 96%. Serena Williams at 93%. Ben Affleck is such a commercial actor. That makes sense to me.
I thought it was going to be a Boston thing. They were going to do like a Dunkin' Donuts ad or something. Do you think J. Cole's The Falloff will debut at number one? We're definitely going to get a media roundup from Phil next time he's on the pod about that album.
Oh, J. Cole hasn't released in a long time, and he's been up in this album a lot, but hip-hop has been falling off the charts.
Falloff indeed, and it's a long-ass album.
But that helps get you on the charts, because that's more songs. Yeah, that's more like playtime, and that helps your stream numbers. What's the percentages on that?
67 yes, 33% no.
Okay, I think I'm leaning no on that one just because hip-hop seems to have fallen out of the zeitgeist, but maybe.
So we're done with Woke and we're done with hip-hop. It's a crazy world we're living in. Ooh, should we do the GTA 6 release date? Should we actually put some money on this one? Before November, before July 2025, before 2025.
Somebody losing their life savings continuously re-upping on their bet for when GTA 6 will be released. Or GTA 7, whichever one we're on.
Strangers Chapter 3 Rotten Tomatoes score. God, people, I don't know. This is an illness. We shouldn't be doing this. I like this one because of how terribly bleak it is. Times Person of the Year for 2026. Number one, Donald Trump. Number two, AI. Number three, Elon Musk.
They would
number
do
four,
some shit like
Sam
that.
Altman.
AI. Oh,
whoa, no. So this is even worse. It's Donald Trump, AI, Sam Altman, Elon Musk, or ChatGPT?
No, it wouldn't be ChatGPT.
Yeah,
but Sam Altman
also seems
like a possibility.
I just hate all that a lot.
All right. Cool. What did we learn about this? Betting is a mental illness?
Oh, If we say that, that means it doesn't put blame on the people or ostracize the people who do it. Is that okay?
Yeah. Well, Kalashi should be ended. I'm proud of a Lebanese entrepreneur making it in this country, but it should be illegal, and everybody involved should be executed.
And my no cap, having a baby is a lot like playing the lottery. More than anybody else, Latinos love it.
All right. Bye.